Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Roethlisberger loading it to the corner of the end zone. Is it caught there for Johnson? Touchdown. A couple of great catches by Johnson on this drive. 64 yards, 7 plays to get it in.
Well, it's a great route. Watch the hard move inside before he goes back out again. You just have to be patient down here. Plus, it has a...
Roethlisberger's tonight at 101. Roethlisberger fires, and that is going to be hauled in by Ebron.
Claypool.
To this side he comes. There's Claypool. They clock all the way down. And Roethlisberger throws it to Ebron. The tight end will take it in for the score. That's caught on the outside and taken in by Freiburg for the touchdown. Pat Freiermuth on his way to the end zone. And a Boswell extra point will make it 34-all.
And watch Chukwuma Okorafor come out and make this block.
This is potentially
a game-winning block on the edge out there by their big offensive tackle and probably best pass protector.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League and NBC Sports. That was Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth on the call of Sunday Night Football with the Pittsburgh Steelers going up against the Los Angeles Chargers from Week 11, and that was Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger throwing touchdown passes to wide receiver Deontay Johnson and tight ends Eric Ebron and Pat Freiermuth. To talk more about the Steelers-Chargers game and also to talk about the Pittsburgh's next game against the Bengals and so much more, we want to welcome him back to the program. He is the writer for Behind the Steel Curtain as well as the Behind the Steel Curtain podcast, Jeff Hartman. Jeff, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So let's get right to it. Jeff, what were your takeaways from the Steelers game against the Chargers?
Talk about a team that seems to be struggling to put a complete game together. You talked about an offense that hits the 30-point plateau for the first time this season. And when they do that, the defense surrenders 41. I don't think there's many people blaming the defense based on the fact that when you lose or don't have available, I should say, Joe Hayden, Minkah Fitzpatrick, T.J. Watt for injury or whatever, but you're going to be shorthanded. And then when you combine that with an opponent with a quarterback like Justin Herbert, weapons like Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler, who scored 3 touchdowns and 4 touchdowns, it's a tough task, but I think the Steelers fan base was hoping the defense would be able to just do something that would be, you know, even just to force a few more punts to give the offense another chance, and they just weren't able to do it. So a game where the offense plays really, really well, the defense struggles, and then you've had games where the defense plays well and the offense struggles. They just can't seem to put a complete game together.
Yeah, I've noticed that for Pittsburgh for much of the year. I mean, they're 5-4-1, and just like you said, when one side of the ball struggles, the other side excels, and vice versa. So we're gonna get let's get more into this Steelers-Chargers game. I want to start off with the running game. Najee Harris, the rookie out of Alabama, in this game against the Chargers, he had only 12 carries for 39 yards and a touchdown. It seems, Jeff, it seems as though this year, in his rookie year, Najee has had his up and down moments in the running department. Just give me your thoughts on Najee and how he played in this game as well as how he's done so far this year.
Najee Harris is the Steelers' best offensive player, and that's as a rookie, and that's only through 10 games, and if you talk to someone that says it's someone else, they're not watching the same team that I am. The problem is not Najee Harris. It's the blockers in front of Najee Harris. And so the Steelers' offensive line is young. You have rookies starting in key spots. Kendrick Green, third round draft pick out of Illinois at center. You have Dan Moore Jr. at left tackle, fourth round draft pick out of Texas A&M. Then you throw in Pat Freiermuth, who due to injury, Derek Ebron has been the team's number one tight end, rookie second round pick out of Penn State. That's not to mention the fact that you have Chukwuma Okorafor for a right tackle, the only experienced lineman, Trey Turner. He obviously is a veteran, but a kind of a journeyman at this point in his career. And then Kevin Dotson on the left guard side, he is looking to have a lot of promise in his second year, but he gets hurt. He's on injured reserve. The Steelers' offensive line is what's dictating the success of Najee Harris as a running back. And even Najee Harris, I want to make this very clear. In the early stages of this season, the line was so bad that whatever yardage he got, if he finished the game with 55 yards, and every day that, and every, you know, everyone has those backups like Benny Snell and Kalen Ballage, like the Steelers do, if they were in that game, they'd be lucky to have 20 yards. I mean, that's how special Najee Harris is, making people miss in the backfield, taking something out of nothing. But it's the offensive line. If that's how the offense goes. They go as the offensive line goes.
Yeah, Najee's kind of been the one that's kind of carried everything with the injuries, as you mentioned, especially to like big-time players like Eric Ebron, of course, with Juju Smith-Schuster being on injured reserve. And I want to get now into the receiving core. Deontay Johnson stepped up his game in this in the Sunday night game against the Chargers. He was the leading receiver with 7 catches for 101 yards and a touchdown. Give me your thoughts on Deontay's performance against the Chargers and his play so far this year.
He has a great relationship with Ben Roethlisberger. You've seen it happening over the last 3 seasons. It's growing every single year. Seems like it's growing every single game. Last season was plagued with the drop. Seems to have definitely gotten that out of his system. Some of the catches that he makes are just outstanding. Everyone wants to talk about catch against the L.A. Chargers. That was great. The better catch to me was the back shoulder throw, which he was actually interfered with. That was called. And he still was able to bring it down. I'm not sure how he did, but he is a playmaker, and he's dynamic when he has the ball in his hands. And the Steelers love to get him the ball in space and see what he can do. Rarely does one tackler bring him down. But Deontay Johnson is also, he's not the Antonio Brown that fans want him to be. Antonio Brown was so good that he could go out and take over a game. That's not really Deontay Johnson's game, at least not at this point in his career. But he has turned into the most reliable receiver the Steelers have, especially since Juju Smith-Schuster's season-ending shoulder injury. So the Steelers are going to lean on him. They're going to lean on Chase Claypool. And hopefully those two can step up their game big time down the stretch.
And you mentioned his name, Chase Claypool. What a rookie campaign he had last year and then the COVID year of 2020. This year, decent year, was hampered with some injuries and stuff. But in this game against the Chargers, he finished with 5 catches for 93 yards. Give me your thoughts on Chase's performance in this game against the Chargers and his play so far this year.
Yeah, coming off a toe injury where he missed the Week 10 game against Detroit, I was happy to see him play as many snaps as he did. Should have had a touchdown. If Roethlisberger doesn't underthrow him in the first quarter, he walked into the end zone for a touchdown. He's getting open. There definitely seems to be, in my opinion, a little bit of a disconnect between Claypool and Roethlisberger. They've had several times this season where they're not reading the same defense. The passes are just not around anyone because they're not on the same page. It seems to be a little bit better now as they're working their way through things. But Claypool, and Mike Tomlin talked about this in his Tuesday press conference today, is he was asked about Ja'Marr Chase of the Bengals. And he said, look, the more tape you get out there, the more you're going to have defenses focusing on you. He brought up Chase Claypool's rookie season in 2020, and now he kind of burst on the scene. No one really knew what to expect. Now they do. He's going to have to work harder. He's going to have to hone his craft. Better at route running, better at the high-pointing catches and stuff like that. I think Claypool's going to be a really good player, but he definitely does a lot of work, still very raw.
Yeah, I mean, the makings are definitely there for Chase to really, like you said, have a great career, and this the sky's the limit for him. And I want to move along now to the tight end position. A tight end, as you mentioned his name earlier, the rookie out of Penn State, Pat Freiermuth, and he has built up a cult following in Pittsburgh. Every time he catches a pass, the crowd at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh says, Muth, almost similar to an ode to Heath Miller during Heath's time with the Steelers. Give me your thoughts on Pat and in his performance against the Chargers and his play this year.
He's definitely a throwback tight end. He's a two-way tight end, a lot like Heath Miller was when he was in Pittsburgh. He can block. He can catch. I will say this, if you're comparing him to Heath Miller, he has more athleticism than Heath Miller ever had. And Heath Miller was a first-round draft pick out of Virginia, but he never had breakaway speed or a crazy amount of agility. And I'm not saying that Freiermuth has that, but he is faster, does have better route running. But Heath Miller was a better blocker, so you give or take. But they're very similar. The fans love him, like you said. And he's definitely becoming a favorite target for Ben Roethlisberger. It's funny. Ben Roethlisberger, since Heath Miller left, never really had a tight end that he really loved to target a lot. He always wanted to throw to the outside, getting into players, whether it's Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, Santonio Holmes. He goes through the whole laundry list of receivers he's thrown passes to. But it's been now that he's kind of realizing that there's something special with this young tight end. He knows the system well. He knows how to find the soft spots and zones. And outside of the fumble in overtime against Detroit in Week 10, Freiermuth's rookie campaign has been pretty pristine, in my opinion.
All right, and then I want to move along now to, you mentioned his name earlier, a guy who's a veteran, had some pretty good seasons with the Indianapolis Colts, and Eric Ebron, again, riddled by injuries for much of this year, but he had 3 catches for 24 yards and a touchdown in the game against the Chargers. Give me your thoughts on Eric's play in the game against the Chargers and his 2021 campaign so far.
It's been up and down. He definitely has been hampered with injuries, had a hamstring injury, kept him out several weeks. And, you know, now he comes back, has a decent game, scores a touchdown. Reports are breaking now, like right before we went on the air, that he has a knee injury that's probably going to need surgery. He could be out for several weeks, if not until maybe the end of the regular season. They're not sure. So that's really bad news for the Steelers and for Ebron himself. And he's probably not going to be with the team next year, and so – that's kind of been Eric Ebron's time in Pittsburgh, though. Up and down, nothing crazy. But, yeah, he's never been the blocker. Then the Steelers ask their tight ends to block a lot. And so that's why I think Pat Freiermuth is a better fit for what the Steelers like to do on offense. But Eric Ebron, he has an athleticism that's rare amongst tight ends. So it's a shame to see him having this knee injury, and who knows how long he'll be out.
All right, let's move along now to the other side of the ball in the defense. And we mentioned it earlier in the beginning of the interview, Jeff, that when the offense plays bad, the defense plays well. And when the defense plays bad, the offense steps up. This was a game against the Chargers where there was no defense, allowing 41 points against Justin Herbert in that awesome Charger offense. I want to start off with Cameron Sutton. Cameron Sutton was the leading tackler in this game against the Chargers. He had 7 tackles and 1 interception. Give me your thoughts on Cameron's play and his play so far this year.
I think Cameron Sutton is a great cornerback. He's a good defensive back. He definitely has a very high football IQ. But let's not pretend that Cameron Sutton is a Joe Hayden-type outside cornerback. He's a guy that has a role on a defense. He does that role extremely well. He's extremely versatile. Can play inside, outside, nickel, dime, doesn't matter. But he's just not that type of cornerback. So I think he's played well this season. He did earn a 2-year contract in the offseason to stay in Pittsburgh. Not saying he didn't earn that contract so far this season, but ultimately I think Cam Sutton, yeah, when he has Joe Hayden opposite him, it's a little bit better, but you never want your cornerback to be leading your team in tackling. That means that he's being targeted a lot, and that means that there's a lot of ball carriers getting to the second, third level, and that's never good. So in this game, I thought Sutton played well. It was a nice athletic play after Cam Hayward tipped the ball in the air to have the interception. But ultimately, for me, Cam Sutton is a really good player. He's just not a great player.
All right, fair enough. And then I want to move along now to some other impact players on the defensive side in the game against the Chargers. In the secondary, Trey Norwood was the second leading tackler in the game against the Chargers. He had 6 tackles. And then James Pierre, another cornerback, had 5 tackles in this game against the Chargers. Just give me your thoughts in Trey with the play of Trey and James against the Chargers.
Well, both of these players, in my opinion, are like prime examples of the Steelers being able to find some value with players that most teams are just overlooking. James Pierre, second-year player. He was an undrafted free agent in 2020. And he came on strong at the end of 2020 season. And he's really accelerated his progression. He's not a finished product by any sense of the word, but he's playing well, especially with his lack of experience. And then you look at Trey Norwood, a 7th-round pick. The Steelers had 2. Their first was 7th-round pick, Trey Norwood out of Oklahoma. He can play it out. For the rookie, he can play the cornerback positions. They put him at in a dime, as a nickel defender. He can play safety, obviously. He filled in for Minkah Fitzpatrick against the Chargers. He has a really bright future ahead of him with his versatility, but he's a rookie. And so the Chargers picked on him, and that's expected. Same with when James Pierre is on the field, defenses are going to target him. It's just part of the growing process.
All right, and then we also had Devin Bush. Devin Bush in the one of the premier linebackers for the Steelers in his game against the Chargers. He had 4 tackles, and then Alex Highsmith had 3 tackles, and he also recorded a half a sack in this game. Just give me your thoughts on Devin and Alex's play in this game against the Chargers and their play so far this season.
And Devin Bush has been frustrating for Steeler fans. You have to go back to 2019 when he was drafted. The Steelers move up 10 spots with the Denver Broncos to take Devin Bush out of Michigan. And he was dynamic his first season. And he was dynamic in his second season in 2020 until he tore his ACL. And so after that surgery, you know, he's definitely not bounced back quickly from it. He's deemed to be healthy, but maybe he just doesn't trust his knee, but there's not the explosion. There's not the sideline to sideline. Take that away from a player who's definitely undersized for his position. Well, then he's just an undersized linebacker. So the Steelers, they need Devin Bush to start either getting comfortable. You hope it's not we're going to have to wait another season until 2022 until he's feeling right. But Alex Highsmith is a second-year player that Steelers had high hopes for, and he hasn't really put out the stats yet that they expect. Sometimes I look at the film, and what you see is Alex Highsmith is getting to the quarterback. He's making plays. He's just not as good as T.J. Watt, and T.J. Watt's getting there first, as crazy as that sounds. And so Alex Highsmith had a sack and a half against the Chargers, and he's done a very admirable job filling in, and they've asked him to do a lot since he was drafted, even last season with Bud Dupree still on the Steelers roster. But Alex Highsmith, again, very promising young player.
Well, speaking of there being a promising young player and still very much in his prime, T.J. Watt, man. T.J. Watt, in this year in 2021, he signed a 4-year extension worth over $112 million with $80 million guaranteed, and it currently makes him the highest-paid defensive player in the NFL. And he's a 2-time finalist for the League Defensive Player of the Year award. Now, he currently had the hip issue, but man, when healthy, he's been all that and then some for the Steelers. Give me your thoughts on TJ's play this year, and what do you think his chances are of winning the League Defensive Player of the Year?
I think that if he can stay healthy, he's going to produce, and that's TJ Watt. When he's in the lineup, the Steelers' defense is different. And even without Minkah Fitzpatrick and Joe Hayden, if he were in the lineup against the Chargers, that game would have been different. Not saying the Steelers would have won, but the game would have been different. He's that type of player. And when you think about T.J. Watt as Defensive Player of the Year, there's a lot of people that have issues with some of the reasoning behind the voting process. You know, for instance, Watt's put up some ridiculous stats the last 2 seasons, and Aaron Donald gets it because they say that, you know, he's getting double-teamed more often. It comes down to almost like a popularity contest. The fact that T.J. Watt's a finalist, he should be a finalist this year if he continues on this pace and gets back on the football field and stays there. He is worth every penny of that contract. They were hesitant when the Steelers decided to give him that contract. To me, he's worth every penny.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. TJ's definitely earned that and then some, man. He's just, it's no telling what's going to happen moving forward. He's just hitting the prime of his NFL career. All right, let's move along now to the Steelers have a big game against the Cincinnati Bengals, their division rival in the AFC North. The Bengals are trying to get it back, trying to get the train back on track again. They had an impressive win in Week 11 over the Las Vegas Raiders. The final score was 32-13. So Joe Burrow played a decent game, but Joe Mixon really did his thing in the running attack for the Bengals in that win over the Raiders. Let's start with the Steelers' defense. And again, we talk about it, Jeff. You know, it's been the Achilles heel for the Steelers this year. What must the Steelers' defense do, in your opinion, to contain Joe Burrow and the Bengals' offense?
And to me, they have to stop the run. The Steelers have been susceptible to the running game, and it kind of all started in Week 6 when the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday Night Football came to Pittsburgh and really, in the third quarter, just ran wild on them. And we've seen it duplicated multiple times so far since then. The Bears had success running the ball. The Chargers had success on Sunday night running the ball. Detroit rushed for over 180 yards in two quarters in Week 10 at Heinz Field. Every team that we're talking about is there's been an ongoing team. Run the football on the defense, and that opens everything else up. You create manageable down and distances, or as Mike Tomlin calls it, you stay on schedule. And so if the Steelers can stop Joe Mixon, force the game into Joe Burrow's hands, and if we're assuming that Watt, Hayden, and Fitzpatrick are playing, you want Joe Burrow facing third and long. And if they can do that, you hope that the Steelers' pass rush can get pressure and that maybe Joe Burrow, that's still a very young quarterback, very talented, but very young, might make a mistake or two, and those players like Hayden and Fitzpatrick can take advantage of the back. But it all starts with stopping Joe Mixon and the Bengals' running game.
All right, fair enough. And let's move along to the other side of the ball. The Steelers' offense, again, Ben Roethlisberger, we know what he's capable of. And also, you mentioned that Najee Harris, you said in your opinion that he's been the best player on the offensive side. So what must the Steelers' offense do to try to get points against Cincinnati's defense?
Well, I think that if I'm trying to think of the keys to victory, the Steelers need to stay balanced with their run-to-pass ratio. When they tend to get pass happy is typically when the Steelers don't succeed. You don't want Ben Roethlisberger throwing the ball 44 times like he did on Sunday night in L.A. You want him in that 25-35 range, and that means running the ball well, you're having success, you're able to mix everything in, and it keeps the Steelers on schedule. Like I mentioned with what you want to force the Bills you're doing the same thing on the side of that script. In terms of anything else, the Steelers have struggled season, third downs, and just having good. I think Sunday night in Week 11 was probably one of their best outings on third downs of the year. Extending drives, keeping the defense off the field, giving them a time to rest and recover, and then finishing drives with touchdowns. The red zone issues are not new. They popped up on more than one occasion. If the Steelers can start to find a way to open things up more when the field shortens, you're going to force the Bengals into having to answer your scores, and you're going to get your defense in a situation where they can pin their ears back and really get after the quarterback.
All right, and speaking of quarterback play, we mentioned his name earlier, Ben Roethlisberger. Tom Brady is still playing at a high level with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But also can't forget about other quarterbacks such as Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, and, of course, the class of 2004 with Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers. And Ben Roethlisberger was a part of this class. I got to ask you this, Jeff. How long do you see Ben playing with the Steelers?
Well, that's a really common question that I get from those Steelers fans and fans of just the NFL. And I think that it all depends on how this season finishes. Ben has said publicly for several years now that he takes it year to year, and at the end of this season, you know, barring like a Super Bowl win, and him riding off in the sunset, a la Jerome Bettis after Super Bowl 40, I don't think you're going to see some glaring declaration from Ben Roethlisberger when the season ends. He's going to take time. He's going to think about it. Now, the question then becomes, if Ben wants to come back, do the Steelers want Ben to come back? And this is where things get dicey. Now you're talking about, like, the Hines Ward, Troy Polamalu treatment, where the Steelers basically said, look, we think you should retire. We don't really want you back. If you want to go somewhere else, that's fine. And it just depends on what that player wants to do. And so if they want Ben back, if they don't like the free agent crop, if they don't like the draft class, I could see them bringing Ben back and saying, let's see if we can continue to improve this roster. This roster was really handicapped with the decreasing of the salary cap this year. They're going to have, assuming the cap balloons back up to where they want it to go, the Steelers should have a lot of cap space. And maybe they say to Ben, hey, let's get you some help. Let's get you to build up that offensive line, and let's try to go get one. And they do have a good core group of young players on this team on both sides of the football. If they can make the right, could be a contender, even next season, if they aren't already this season, although that seems like a stretch right now.
I want to stay with Ben again for a moment. Matt Canada was the quarterback's coach in the COVID year last year, and now this is his first year as the offensive coordinator. What are the reports that you've heard about Ben getting along with Coach Canada as the offensive coordinator? Has he gotten comfortable with the offense that Coach Canada has put together?
I think that he's gotten about as comfortable as you could expect an 18-year veteran who's been in a very similar system every year until this one can get. And there's some growing pains, and there's definitely some times where I'm sure Roethlisberger is expecting a certain call or he's not getting it and he gets frustrated. And, yeah, there's going to be fans that read a lot into that. But for me, I look at it and say that, you know, with Roethlisberger, he's a guy that has always kind of been fiery. He's always been – he's never been really vocal against the coordinator. But ultimately, I look at Roethlisberger, and he wants to win football games. And when things are going good, he's going to praise him. And when things are going bad, he's going to say things like, oh, I don't know, you got to ask Coach Canada. So I think that it's fine. Roethlisberger knew Matt Canada because of his time in Steelers with the Steelers in 2020. He probably knew what he was getting himself into. And I think it's been working. It's just there's been some issues in terms of the development of the plan and things like that.
All right, fair enough. And, you know, Jeff, we're on the heels of a holiday weekend, and it's Thanksgiving. And I know there's so many celebrations all over the world with people enjoying not just their families, but also food and football. I got to ask you, what are Thanksgiving celebrations like in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh, it's pretty traditional, to be honest with you. You know, nothing crazy. You'll see the pigskin flying in the yard. You might see a couple turkey bowl football games early in the morning on Thanksgiving Day, flag football, tackle football. It's definitely part of the culture in the city of Pittsburgh, and it's just a lot of fun. And I actually love the fact that the Steelers are not playing. I'd rather be able to sit down and relax during the holiday with my family, watch some other games, and not have to work. So I'm thankful that the Steelers aren't playing this year.
Wow, yeah, that's always a relief right there. You don't have to work on a holiday, I tell you that. And I want to stay just with Thanksgiving in Pittsburgh. Are there any special, like, items? I know every city has their twist on Thanksgiving celebrations. In the city of Pittsburgh, are there any, like, type of special foods that are eaten during for a Thanksgiving dinner?
Every now and then you'll find someone that wants to kind of go outside the box and try something new. There's some people that think that macaroni and cheese is a staple, while others think that's blasphemous. There's some people that deep fry their turkeys. There's some that grill them like I do. There's some that smoke their turkey. Some will go and bring, like, a pierogi, which is a very Pittsburgh thing. But still, ultimately, it's pretty traditional. I mean, Pittsburgh is a classic town, is what I like to call it. It's definitely fresh and new and vibrant, but it's a classic town. Like, they're still the meat and potatoes count. So they don't want to mess with tradition too much in Pittsburgh.
All right, fair enough. And he's Jeff Hartman from Behind the Steel Curtain. Again, Jeff, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what you do at Behind the Steel Curtain.
I'm the senior editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, so check that out for all your Pittsburgh Steelers needs. You can follow me on our podcast platform, wherever you download your podcasts, or Steelers or Behind the Steel Curtain. You can subscribe, follow there. And on Twitter, you can find me at J Hartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N underscore P-I-T.
All right. Tell the listeners out there one more time, Jeff, where they can find you on social media as well as Behind the Steel Curtain, and any websites that you want to promote. Let them know that as well.
Yeah, so BehindTheSteelCurtain.com is our website. You can follow that Twitter handle at BT Steel Curtain. You can follow me personally at J Hartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N underscore P-I-T.
You heard it from him. He is Jeff Hartman. He is the senior editor of Behind the Steel Curtain, which is powered by SB Nation. And he's also a writer for the website as well as the host of the podcast. And check out the website, BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Jeff, thank you so much for being on the program. Take your time out of your busy schedule. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. And if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Be back with more right after this.
Roethlisberger loading it to the corner of the end zone. Is it caught there for Johnson? Touchdown. A couple of great catches by Johnson on this drive. 64 yards. Roethlisberger's tonight at 101. Roethlisberger fires, and that is going to be hauled in by Ebron. To this side he comes. There's Claypool. They clock all the way down. And Roethlisberger throws it. Ebron, the tight end, will take it in for the score. That's caught on the outside and taken in by Frymuth for the touchdown.